Hi guys, I don't normally run ads on this show, but this is the family business, luggagewarehouse.co.za. My dad, my brother, my stepbrother, my uncle have all worked for Luggage Warehouse directly, and I've done freelance brand strategy for them for years now. So it supports the whole family, it supports this show indirectly. So if you're looking for luggage, accessories, handbags and fashion stuff, even you can go to luggagewarehouse.co.za. And there are two products that I want to pull out for you here. Number one being Builder Set, which allows you to create your own combination of large, small, medium, check-in, hand luggage, all that stuff. And it gives you a discount for each additional bag you buy, up to a certain limit, I think. But you can get great discounts on big collections of big luggage. So if you're thinking of immigrating, it's the perfect way to kind of gear up for that. And the second thing I want to pull out is Luggage Glove, which is a protective sleeve that my dad invented. My brother has kind of perfected over the years. It's a thick 3D fabric mesh sleeve that pulls over your luggage and then locks closed. It's got a TSA lock. It's got holes for the handles, so it's quite convenient. It's not like single-use plastic wraps because you don't have to cut open a hole in the plastic to use the handle. You can take it off easily. It's got a combination lock, and it's much more sustainable because you're not just murdering turtles with single-use plastic. But it makes the bag much more difficult to get into, and it protects it from bumps and scrapes. And if you are emigrating, then those are two important things, because you might be carrying actual valuables in your check-in luggage, and because they're going to be heavy and you might be going a long distance, they can pick up some major damage. So Luggage Gloves do a great job of protecting your luggage in the long term. That's it for my pitch. Luggagewarehouse.co.za. There's a link in the show notes. I'm talking to Vaughn from Animal Travel Services. And Vaughn's actually someone I meant to interview weeks ago, but life got out of hand. And it's really great to catch up at the expo here. First of all, this is the short version of the interview, Vaughn. But thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Not only a pleasure. Happy to be here.
So who are you representing here today, and what's your position in the company? What do you do for Animal Travel Services?
So I'm actually the operations manager for Animal Travel Services, make sure that everything runs smoothly for the company. We are here just to let everybody know that we are here in the market for pet shipping. Sure. We do internationals, we do locals, we do imports, we do the full package when it comes to people's pets that are immigrating.
Are there local shipping for pets?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you mean as if you're just moving across the country?
Yeah,
Joburg, I suppose. Joburg to Durban. You're not going to drive all the way up there and
Yeah, car trips are a bit long. People prefer to rather do a 2-hour flight, Cape Town, Joburg, or PE, East London.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But predominantly is your work international?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, a lot of people moving internationally.
Have you seen an increase in business? Have you seen a spike in interest over the last couple of years?
Well, we'll take it on the last 2 years when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, everything got shut down.
Sure.
If you've got to compare what was before COVID hit, to now, it's definitely a lot more now. The demand has definitely spiked.
Yeah, yeah. There's kind of like a weird gap in a lot of people's data, which comes from COVID, because it was you were tracking before, and then COVID went mad, and then everything, especially if you're in retail, everything disappears, and now you're building up from comparing back to 2019 again.
Correct.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
So how and why did you personally find a career in animal shipping and immigration?
So I actually started as one of the drivers. I was at studied to be a chef.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't get into the industry. Okay. And went for something completely different. I mm-hmm. Had the opportunity to work as a temp for one of the opposition companies. Mm-hmm. Started out there and worked there for 18 months and wanted a change in scenery, moved from Joburg to Cape Town.
Right.
And I got the opportunity to work as a driver for Animal Travel Services and piqued my interest.
And as a driver, would your responsibility be picking up the animals and taking them to the depot? It all sounds, using the word shipping and depot in context of animals is a very weird one for me.
Yeah, no, it is very strange. People don't grab the concept of it. So it's coming as a driver. It's not just a driver; it is an animal handler. So it's the full package, from handling the animals from your home to the other side where we deliver. Mm. Obviously the driving is part of it.
Sure. And do you have a particular affinity or training with animals? I mean, transporting them, there must be some that are anxious or angry or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. In our industry, our industry is not something that you can train for. It's more qualified by experience. Mm-hmm. So we do give the guys that start at the company, they do have basic animal handling training done in-house. and they then evolve from there. I don't know how else to explain it. Sure. Your everyday handling with animals, you get that experience, you get the weird and wonderfuls, you get the aggressive dogs that you've got to deal with, where a lot of us that have been in the industry for so many years are used to dealing with that. We know how, we know what medication is to be given, what medication is not to be given, that, you know, spikes aggression or makes them, or tranquilizes them. So it's qualified by experience, yeah.
Sure. And I imagine literally any cat you pick up is going to try and have a go at you.
Actually not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cats are not a worry. It's the little doggies.
Really?
Yeah, it's the little Minpins, the cheeky ones, the Dachshunds. Those are the ones that you really got to watch out for. You do have the handful of cats from nervous owners that have rubbed off onto the animals.
Sure.
That we see. Mm. And, you know, patience, tender loving care, couple of hours with that cat and it just calmed down. Where doggies are a lot different.
Yeah.
They tend to keep that nervousness.
Yeah.
Anything that moves too quickly around them, they tend to just snap at it as a defense mechanism.
Sure. I've never actually even thought about this question, but when a dog or a cat is transported long distance, are they sedated? Do they, you know, get like a light sedative or anything like that?
Natural calming remedies are recommended. Mm. Sedatives, tranquilizers is a definite no-go.
Right.
Two big reasons why not. Pets cannot regulate their body temperature when they're tranquilized.
Mm.
So they can either overheat or, you know, if they in a cold environment, they can't, you know, sort themselves out.
Sure.
The other one is if they are tranquilized, there is open bowls of water that's in the container. And if they pass out head first into the container,
shallow water drowning, just like
exactly.
Kids will just find every... Yeah, they'll find a dog ball and go lie in it.
Yeah, exactly. So we avoid that. You don't want that disappointment at the end of it. And again, a lot of people think, tranquilize my dog, put the doggy out for the flight, and we'll get him when he wakes up on the other side. It's not that easy.
Sure. So what is... walk me through the process from start to finish, if you can. I'm sure it's complex and long.
Yeah, I was going to say complex and long. It all depends where you're going. So pick one, an international shipment, local
Let's
shipment.
Let's do international to the... I'm using the UK as the example
Perfect.
Here all the time.
Perfect. Yeah, we've got a lot of clients that are going through to the UK. So in the beginning, the client will contact us, show interest, where they're going. We then provide them with the regulations for entering into the UK. They then work with their vet for 4 months. It takes 4 months to get any animal ready for flying into the UK. Once that process is done, the client contacts us, signs up with us. We go through all the documents, make sure that everything's correct. From there, we book a flight for a preferred flight date for the client. Currently, it's not always possible, but we always aim for that flight date for them. Once we've got the flight date, we have a travel itinerary typed up that'll give them specific time frames that they'll need to have their final health checks done, their health certificates. We then collect those documents from them, take them through to the state vet for the endorsement. And then on the date of departure, we actually go and pick them up from their home in their boxes and we check them in at the airline.
And they get a very specifically sized box, right?
Correct, correct. Yeah, every animal will have a different size box. We've got a standard range from 1 to 13, obviously 13 being the biggest, 1 being the smallest. And then we also do the customized boxes for instance, Great Danes. Great Danes is not a, you know, they range in their sizes.
I was wondering if they were 13.
Yeah, you know, we've actually had, we've gone beyond 30 or far beyond 13 for the Great Danes,
right.
Just to make sure that they are comfortable.
So 13 is like an Alsatian or something.
No, 13 would be a bigger sized Rottweiler.
Oh, okay.
Bigger sized Rottweiler. I'm trying to think now. The Newfoundland dogs, the big built doggies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hectic.
The Great Danes are more slimline, longer and taller.
I see. And does the cost essentially scale with size?
Absolutely. So anything with the airline is all about volumetric weight.
Yeah.
So the bigger the box is, the more volumetric weight, the price increases.
I see. And what is from a Pekingese to a Great Dane? How, I know it's hard to tell, but let's say the UK, approximately what is the range?
So for a Pekingese, including the clearance, so going through to the UK, sorry, that's a step that I missed, is when the animals arrive in the UK, it's compulsory to have a clearing agent on the UK side. So when we do our quote initially for the clients, we include that so they don't have to try and run around and, you know, try and find somebody to help them on the other side. So include the car, coming back to the cost, including the travel crate, the flight, the documentation, the clearance on the other side. For a Pekingese, you're looking in the range of about 25,000 to 35,000,
mm-hmm.
whereas a Great Dane runs into about 120,000, 130,000. So
yeah.
it's a big range. And, you know, again, COVID has played a big role in the rates that we get from the airlines.
Right.
Which has made it more expensive.
Do you also transport things that are more exotic? Lizards, birds, that kind of thing?
We had 3 rats travel today, actually. Wow. Yeah, from Cape Town to, I think, through to Durban. We've got a snake coming up from Middelburg in Mpumalanga that's going through to Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've done Weird and Wonderfuls. We've done fish before.
Right.
We've got a shipment coming up of a ton of fish that's going from Durban through to the UK of koi fish.
For an aquarium. Okay.
Koi fish, yeah. Right.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, the Weird and Wonderfuls are definitely there. And that's where my interest peaks, is those Weird and Wonderfuls, those challenges, those things that nobody really wants to touch.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I aim.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, definitely.
So, what I don't understand and what I've always kind of tried to imagine is, like, what is the – if I'm a dog in a box, in a plane, am I in a temperature-controlled environment? I assume it's pressure-sealed like the rest of the plane. Like, what is that actual space like?
So it's called Hold 5 is where the animal's going into. It is exactly the same as what you experience in the actual
passenger section
of the aircraft, Jay.
Okay.
Dim lights, just temperature-controlled.
You know, less snacks and
yeah, no, definitely.
No TV.
Yeah, yeah. The doggies and the cats get water during the flight, no food. Food tends to land up with the animals having twisted stomachs, torsion.
Oh.
Yeah. So we avoid food.
Because of stress or because of pressure effects or what?
More of stress. Yeah. The deep-chested doggies, they tend to stress anyway, and that causes them to get the torsion.
And is there a range of reactions to the stress of the move from completely unbothered to obviously highly anxious and disturbed? And what are the factors that would influence that, or what are the commonalities, I guess?
The owners.
Oh, really?
The owners.
Do they just reflect the owner's energy?
The biggest thing, and you know, doing this, I'm now going on 13 years in the industry, the biggest thing that upsets pets is the owners. So if the owners, I say to the owners all the time, don't worry about your pets. Go and grab a bottle of whiskey. Go and chill, you know, a couple of days before with your bottle of whiskey. And I guarantee you, by the time we come and pick up your pets will be chilled.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that range of stress definitely ranges. But, again, it all comes down to how the owners are reacting.
Sure. Yeah, because they pick up all of those, you know, sub-vocal cues.
Correct.
And body language. And,
yep.
And when you're running around trying to organize a trip overseas, it's one of the most stressful moments of your life. So
yeah, and some of those clients leave it to 0.99 before they do anything. And I mean, then they hit stress mode, and then the dogs freak out, and the cat freaks out, and the bird wants to fly out the window. So definitely gets there.
Hectic. So what would you say is Animal Travel Services' USP? Like, what sets you apart from any other competitors in the field, I suppose?
We do everything.
Oh, is this from top to tail?
We can do everything. We customize our packages for our clients. So a lot of the guys in the industry have set packages that they do. Clients got to pick one and off they go, where we customize absolutely everything from your box to your times to anything that you need done, we handle it.
I see.
And it's across South Africa.
Awesome. So if anyone wants to get in touch with you guys, how's that possible?
Easiest way is we hit our website, www.animal-travel.com. Mm-hmm. All our details are online.
Great. That's fantastic. Let me check if I've got everything here. For exhibitors, my last question. What's the best piece of advice for attendees from you today?
Steal with the eyes.
Steal with the eyes.
Steal with the eyes. I tell you what, take as much information as you can. For immigration specifically, the more information you can get, the better.
Right.
A lot of the guys that we've seen that have gone over to various places, New Zealand, Australia, the UK, Thailand, some of the guys have gone over, they haven't done their research properly, and they've actually ended up coming back. So my advice for anybody here today, take in as much information as you can.
Awesome. Thanks for your time.
South African Expats is produced by Jonathan Varnker and brought to you by Ping Productions.